Well, good day, everyone, and welcome again to our Bible study together as part of Minton Williams Ministries. It is such an honor that you take time to spend with us out of your day, and I trust that it is some of the most beneficial time you can spend, because I really believe we're touching on some things that are really God's heart for us, His people, today. Now, we've been talking about a willing heart. This is our sixth session now. And today we're going to really pick up and talk about His will again, but to walk in His footsteps too. Now, TWO is really what I mean. I have the number two in the title, but we can do a little play on words and say TOO as well, because you and me and all of us that are hearing this, we are called to walk in His footsteps too. Just like He did. And I think that's going to just get even more ingrained in us today. We're going to see some things that I think will encourage us that we can do it as we look about some of our responsibility and how. So we've been talking about in this last days, there is a job to do. And in Matthew 24, the 46th verse, Jesus is talking and He's talking about His return. And He said, when the Master comes, will He find His servant so doing? And that's what we want to be about. We want to be found so doing. And then as we begin to talk about last week, we want to be found in faith as well. We've been anchored in Isaiah 1:19, which says, if you're willing and obedient. So both are required. And sometimes there's obedience without a willingness. But we have to have both of them. And it says, we'll eat the good or the very best of the land. And so if we got to be willing, then we need to know what His will is for us and then be willing to do what He instructs. Now, we're not alone in this. This is not something we have to work up ourselves. And we have just such a great adventure of walking in His will and doing what He's called us to do, where we have an advocate that has been sent, a coach, as in John 14:26, Jesus calls Him the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name. And He will teach us all things and bring into remembrance all that He has said to us. Now, if He's going to bring to remember some things, then that's a clue there that we've got something to do. What? Get in the Word to learn what He's saying to us. So we've got a coach, but we saw what? What does a coach do? He teaches his players how to do something, explains why they're doing it, makes them well equipped to accomplish it. And so that's what He wants to do with you and I. And so we have a part in this as a player on His team, more accurately said, as a son in His family. Hosea 46 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but it's not just because they don't get knowledge, it's because they reject knowledge. And that is just, it sets you on a course of life where you're doing your own thing. And it's, if we're not careful, as we saw last week, people can run unconstrained. There's no guiding principles in their life. And so this lack of knowledge is what? It's having no knowledge of His will, or we might say that His will has not been revealed to us. Now, we saw in 1 Peter 2:21, and I want to read this slowly today because I want you to just to pick up and get this down in your heart. And I'm just led to do it as we're recording this. For it says, even to this you were called. And then in parentheses, the Amplified Bible says, it is inseparable from your vocation. And that tells me this applies to everyone. No matter what we're called, what we're doing on this earth in this physical realm, this spiritual work is also something we need to be doing. And those are two really key words that I want you to pick up even more on today. It says, for Christ also suffered for you, leaving you His personal example, so that you and myself can do what? Follow in His footsteps. Now, we talked about what does this mean to us? How do we learn this? Well, we have to look at what Jesus said about how He did it. And what did he say as we look to him? I only say what I hear the Father say, and I only do what I see him do. And how did he do this? Through fellowship with the Holy Spirit and the Father, the same way we're to do it. Now, how do we go about it? Well, we saw that one of the first things that we've got to do that Jesus did is in Luke 5, verse 16, says he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. We looked at a number of verses. He did this on multiple occasions. And what was he doing? Going to hear and see the Father again by fellowshipping with Holy Spirit. Now in John 14, 12, we've seen this verse. Some rejoice, some say, how can this be about me? But we all need to take it by faith as ours. Jesus says, truly, truly, verily, verily, or so be it, this is the way it is. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Talking about the disciples, but we know if it's for the disciples, it's for us. And greater works than these will he do, because he goes to the Father. So how did Jesus do this? Really what he was doing was displaying the nature of God. He was doing it. In doing this, though, he was really in love, showing the Father's love, representing the Father. Now, he represented the Father, but I think it's important we see he was representing the Father just as we're to do with Jesus. And then finally, in verse 15 in that same chapter, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we see a relationship between loving and our ability to keep. And that leads us to where we need always to be aligned for his will for us. But where does it start? With love. Can I just say this? Verse 12 about the greater works will we do. And this verse, if you love me, you will keep. They're not disconnected. They're very much connected. Saying what? We must be obedient. But we also, before that, must be willing. And we saw that we have to be willing even to hear his will. So today, walking in his footsteps, part two. But again, two as in we play a role in this. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, this is a familiar scripture, so let's don't go into it thinking that we've got all the answers, because I know I don't. It says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present, I might say, to make available our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. Now, that's a lot better in the Old Testament, because their sacrifices were what? Put to death. But he's saying, we're going to do this while we're living here on this earth. And then it says, this living and holy sacrifice will be acceptable. And I would say instead of that word, I think well-pleasing is really what it means to God. And it says that's our spiritual service. We're going to look at that verse a little more on a couple of points here. And then it says, and don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Caterpillar to butterfly type, big change. A new life, might I say. Caterpillar crawling on the ground, the butterfly operates in the atmosphere. And for you and I, we're operating in that atmosphere of love in the spirit realm. So don't be conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove. Now, don't get concerned about that word. We're going to spend some time on it. What the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Now, I want to say for the first time, and several more probably, I don't believe we're talking about good, better, best. I think we're talking about his will is good. When we do his will, it's what? Well-pleasing. And when we're doing his will under his guidance, then we know we are complete in him and acting in his stead. Now let's go back to verse 1. And I want to read this to you in the complete Jewish. So if you've got your notes, look at it, because there's some things I want you to pick up on. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, in view of God's mercies, to offer yourselves as a sacrifice, living and set apart. Now, that's what sanctification is. That's what has happened to you and I if we're born again. We've been sanctified. We've been set apart to do what? To serve Him. So we're living and set apart for God. And then it says, this will please Him. And certainly that's what we want to do, is to please our Lord Jesus. And then they have this phrase, it is the logical temple worship for you. Now, the previous verse said it's your reasonable spiritual service, or it's your spiritual service, something we ought to do. But I want you to think about this from temple worship standpoint, maybe a little differently than you've ever read it. Maybe you've never seen this in complete Jewish, but they would go to the temple to worship, and they would sanctify the holy place in that temple before the priest could even go in. But you are the temple. You've already been sanctified, set apart, ready for use, well fit to serve. The Weiss translation says this is well pleasing to Him. So it's a stronger emphasis, and we need to see that this is not just something we do. This is what He's called us to do, and it brings Him great joy. Now, we can't ever forget that if a person was not willing to make the right sacrifice, if he made the wrong sacrifice or with the wrong heart, it what? It wasn't accepted. So we've got to remember, we want to be willing to have our sacrifice, as it is our responsibility of using my body here on this earth for His benefit. And then that very next verse starts off that you may prove. Now, verse 2 there, prove, literally means to prove experientially. But it also implies the approving or understanding that this is something that is for ourselves. It's almost like it's something we need to prove to ourselves through the Word and the bearing witness with His Spirit, with our spirit, that we are well equipped to do this. The word there is dokimozo. Some other teaching I've done, I call it the D word. It literally means to be tested, but it means to be tested or proven with the intent to pass. Now, stop and think about that. What does the word prove mean? Well, how about this? Does it mean to establish truth or to validate, so we can be establishing the validity of His word at work in our lives through us? And so I would ask the question, in a trial, isn't that what a witness does? They testify factually to what they know. Oh, this is beginning to just rise up a little bit as we're talking about this. And saints, that's what witnessing is for you and I. It's we are doing for others what Jesus did by doing what? By representing Him, His very nature, to the world. Now, to do this, if we back up in verse 1, we've got to have a renewed mind if we're going to sustain this lifestyle that He's calling us to, proving His will. And I'm not just talking about, in terms of the word, memorizing it. I'm talking about being able to experience it and see it working in us, spirit, soul, and body. And I'm just going to remind you, you're a three-part being, and that spiritual part is really the base of who we are. So let me just say it this way. You are the vehicle of that encounter, of your encounter with the Word to see His and learn His will, and having that will work in your life so that others may see Jesus. Now, don't let that be a scary thing for you. You know, you are a spiritual being. So we're not just talking about things that we can do in the flesh. We're talking about only things that He can do in the spirit realm through us, where we actually are bringing heaven to earth and seeing things impacted. And don't think that it's all talking about just great miracles. Certainly you're going to see that's a part of it. But it's testifying, establishing truth as to who Jesus is and what he's done for you in your life. Now, maybe there's some John 14:12 things in there, but we need to put the will of God to work in our life, displaying him for the world to see, just as Jesus did. In fact, you know we're called the body of Christ. So we are his body here and now, and that's what we're doing, is representing and representing him as an ambassador. Now, I want to make one more comment on this supernatural part. We're recording this a couple of days after the world has celebrated Halloween. And I'm going to tell you, don't you go thinking that witches and warlocks and casting spells and or curses are just something to be spooky around Halloween. They are real. What are they? They are people who are manifesting the will of darkness in this earth. And that's what we're called to do with Jesus, only we got one thing that's working on our side that they don't have. The individual, the person who we are representing, is the born-again, defeated the devil, Lord Jesus. Therefore, don't get afraid of encountering these spiritual powers that can come against us, because your word is final authority when it's his word and he's told you to speak it. That just excites me. So what do we see in this? It's not about just what I can do that's good, better, or I mean, maybe I do something good, maybe I do something a little better, or even occasionally I might give my best. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about us being focused on his will for our lives, knowing it, and I'm allowing him to work through me to accomplish his will with a specific purpose. And what is that? For the world to see. Now go with me to Psalm 67. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 6, and 7 of this psalm. And I'm going to just give you two scriptures today for time's sake. There are many others. Verse 1, God be gracious to us and bless us. Now, this is before the cross. So we can say from our perspective, after the cross and after receiving Jesus, God has been gracious to us and he has blessed us and caused your face to shine upon us. In other words, light be upon us. Scripture tells us that we're also the light. And why is that important? Well, let me don't pass by too quickly. This word Selah means think about that now. So I want you to just briefly think about it, and then we're going to jump to two. But when you meditate these two verses later on, pause and really think about the fact that what is in verse 1 is an accomplished truth in your life. Then it says that your way, talking about God's way, may be what? Known where? On the earth. You think other people are supposed to see it? And what are they supposed to really see as the first thing in this? Your salvation among all nations. So this is talking about a gospel, a almost too good to be true gospel that needs to be seen throughout the world. Now skip down to verse 6. The earth has yielded its produce. Now, I'm just impressed to say it this way. This, I don't believe, is just talking about grapes and olives and those kind of things. This earth has produced, has yielded its produce. And that today is you and I. That's who we are, you and me. And then it says, God, our God, blesses us. We can say what? Has blessed us. God, and I'm going to read this from our perspective, has blessed us. Why? That all the ends of the earth may fear him. Now, I don't believe this is just talking about being afraid. And maybe we need to reteach about fear versus reverence and awe. Something we taught many years ago. I believe this is saying the world needs to see him and hold him in great awe. And so that they do what? Receive him. Now, Isaiah 61:9. Then their offspring, that's you and I. Now, offspring, let's pick up on that word because we're going to use it again. The offspring, I believe, is talking about someone who has the nature or characteristics of his father. So let's talk about earthly. Me and my son Ben and his son Eli. When we stand together, and we've done this a couple of times, had some pictures taken at some of Eli's ball games. But when we stand together, You can look at Eli and you can see me in him just the way he stands. His physical characteristics are represented. Mine are represented in him. This is the image that you need to have of representing Jesus, representing the Father as he did. So an offspring, and we should be known amongst the nations. They ought to see something different. And their descendants, so not just you, but those who come after, in the midst of the people. And look at this verse. All who see them will recognize him. Why are they going to recognize him? Because they are the offspring whom God has blessed. Glory to God. We have things that people are looking for, and we need to be seen in those. That same nature of God at work in you. Now, you're not working on this earth to earn his favor or earn his grace. You are doing this work from your established, completed position in Christ Jesus. Now, you may not be doing it all, but we start with what we know his will is teaching us, and it'll grow, it'll increase so much, as I can testify in my own life. And then we'll be what? Well-pleasing to him. Now, go with me to Colossians 1:9. I don't know if we're going to get through everything, but I'm going to try. This is Paul writing to the people in Colossae, whom he's heard witness of that they are operating in faith and love. And so he says, "For this reason, since the day I heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Filled with the knowledge of his will, complete understanding, and it all is taking place what? In the spirit realm. Why is that important? Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. How about we say it this way? You will walk in a manner worthy of being the one who represents the Lord. And then it keeps on saying, to please him, not just a little bit, but in all respects. And then the second part of that verse, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we're going to be continuing to grow. We're going to see what we should do today. We're going to do it. We're going to see something else that even takes us further tomorrow. Verse 11, how's this going to happen? We're going to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience, joyously. In verse 12, the number there shouldn't interrupt the thought. Joyously giving thanks to the Father, who is willing to use us, and we are bearing fruit for him because he has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life, in light. Walking in the light, doing what he's telling us to do, that is our inheritance. And you've been called to share with it. Now, let's look at Jesus. And then think about us as his offspring as we read some of these verses. And we're going to go quickly. Psalm 46, 7, and 8. Sacrifice and offering you do not desire, nor have you delight in them. In other words, he's not interested in you messing up making a sacrifice. He wants us to sacrifice ourselves what? Living sacrifice. But he says, the psalmist is saying to the Father, you've given me the capacity to hear and obey. Now contrast that with sacrifice and offering, hearing and obeying, willing and obedient, and we're to obey his law, his teaching, his words to us, a more valuable service than burnt offerings or sin offerings, which you really don't require and don't want. Wow. John 14, down at near the end of that chapter, I will not speak much more with you, Jesus says, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. You know, you can say that too. When the Father looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. What does he see? Jesus in you. Why? So that the world may know, Jesus talking of himself, and so we know this is for us as well, that the world may know that I love the Father. I do exactly as he commanded us. And then he said, get up, let's go on from here. And that was when he was on his way to the cross. He was what? Offering himself as a living sacrifice to become the end sacrifice of all time. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Now, where are we? In Him. So we're not operating in this by ourselves. We're operating this in Him. And that's what Luke 3:22 says. The Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came out of heaven and said, "You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased." And you are in Him, walking in His footsteps. How about John 5, verse 20? The Father loves the Son and shows Him all things He's doing. And the Father will show Him even greater works than these, so that you will marvel. Well, isn't that exactly what we just read in John 14:12? That we're going to see more and greater works than these shall you do? Saints, we're just walking in His footsteps because we're anchored in His love. He loves you just like He loves Jesus. And from there, John 14:12 can become alive. 16:32 of John, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and leave me alone. And this is the part I want you to see. Jesus' attitude, even though he was going to be by himself bodily, was this: yet I'm not alone, because the Father's with me. Everywhere we go, we've studied, we've seen, where can I escape from your spirit? Nowhere. Verse 33, Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. So we can't do this anywhere except what? In him. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Let me close with this one. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. This is what the Lord was speaking to the children of Israel when they were at a crossroads and needed to follow in his footsteps in the right way. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness this, the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants might live. So I want you to see, us choosing correctly has an impact not only on us, but on who else? Our posterity. For me, on Ben, and for Eli, as they walk in not my footsteps, but the footsteps of Jesus. And then verse 20, you can make this choice, and look how it starts, by loving the Lord your God. And that love produces what? A willingness to submit. Then it says, obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I'm going to unplug right here. And next week, we're going to come back to this verse as soon as we finish our review, and we'll jump back into it because there's a few other things I want you to see here. Willing and obedient to follow in his footsteps. We do so anchored in his love, confident of that love working in our life. And don't forget, faith worketh or is energized by love. Look forward to hearing good things from you about what you've learned in this session, and we'll look forward to next week, what the Lord will show us then. Thanks for joining us.